According to our estimates, the share of gray shipments for Nokia products in Russia amounts up to 10%. The biggest channel of gray suppliers is Ukraine. Consumers go for gray products because of lower price. The difference is up to 15%. Is Nokia undertaking any measures against gray shipments?
Right. I think that the most important step, and yes, we are taking steps and action, and the most important definitely goes in the direction of, towards the consumers. Because as you know, we in Nokia, we think that we make devices for the consumers. And for us, of course, it's important that those devices would be very easy and intuitive to use. And therefore, we really want to remind the consumers that as you know, those devices which are kind of brought not gray but normal way to Russian, there are Russian languages and all other specs are very much dedicated for the Russian market. We want to remind the consumers that in the normal way imported devices, they don't have to worry too much about these features. So our communication towards the consumers to remind them about the importance of that is, I think, the biggest action. It's also, I think, important if you think of where we are going with all these devices. They are not anymore just mobile phones. When they become a bit more rich, and not only a bit, but very much richer devices like multimedia computers, there I'm sure it's even more important for the consumers that they purchase devices which are very much meant for their own market. Mm-hmm. So the biggest action is very much and what we are doing towards the consumers. So communicating and informing, reminding the distribution also about it.
Nokia pays great attention to developing its branded retail in Russia, including regions. Regular launches of new concept stores, shop-in-shops, the first Nokia flagship store was opened in Moscow. Are you putting the same efforts developing branded retail in other countries, or is it so only in Russia? What is your experience in this area in Russia? Do you consider your brand shops efficient or profitable? What is your vision for further development of retail in Russia?
Right. Okay, that's a good point. First of all, we opened globally the first flagship store in Russia, in Moscow, last year, December. And I can really assure you that it's not a coincidence. It was very well thought and planned where and when to open the first one. And I guess that's already a signal about the importance of the Russian market. So we, of course, generally speaking, Nokia is a global brand, well known in every part of the world. And as you know, mobile telephony and also the mobile multimedia computers later will be also known everywhere in the world. So it's important that we have a certain consistent and harmonious way how to build the brand in different parts of the world. So when it comes to our retail operations in Russia or in Latin America or in USA or in Venezuela or Philippines, whatever, our aim is that the consumers would feel more or less the same when they walk into a store in different parts of the world. But of course, if you ask about the level of investments and importance, Russia is ranking very high. So it's one of the top markets for us to look at, and then we are doing a lot of work to establish ourselves in the retail world in Russia. And why it is important is and why we decided to now open our own flagship stores. First of all, I think we have commented also publicly that we are not aiming to open hundreds and hundreds of own stores. We want to have a chain of flagship stores in different parts of the world because we want to show a kind of a benchmark for the rest of the distribution. What is the right way to demonstrate for the consumers these new functionalities of the devices? We talk about experiences. We know it is difficult, especially when you have a device that says Canon, you immediately think camera. If you say Nokia, phone. That's the first thing that comes to your mind. So our task in today's situation where we have broken out from mobile telephony to new areas, our task is to show to the consumers that Nokia today means also something else than just a mobile phone. That's why we decided to open a couple of own stores where we can, in a totally controlled environment, demonstrate for the consumers, you know, the different functionalities of video telephony or camera imaging functionalities or music, etc. And of course, our idea also is to learn. When we do that, we make learnings and we can then make relevant changes within our way how we are promoting our devices. So for us, it's a not only a retail investment, it's an investment in learning what is the best way to sell and market these kind of devices. But to answer your question, yes, Russia is important. Well, first of all, this flagship store, of course, they are kind of at the crown jewel, the highest level of our retail approach. But as important, of course, it is that the consumers in different parts of Russia, they would have the possibility to have the same experience in those stores that they do visit regularly, which means that you are not going to see tens of other flagship stores appearing in Russia. But what you will see is that there will be concept stores, which means that it's a store totally Nokia branded, and it is a marketing cooperation that we have with many partners. And we have a couple of numbers here in Russia. Today we have close to 20. We have 17 concept stores in Russia and Ukraine, 15. And in CIS countries we have shopping shops. But flagship store, concept store, then the next layer is shopping shop. So we have a corner of a certain area. And so our idea is that if in flagship store almost everything is possible and we own the space and we invest a lot, then of course these other layers, yes, we also want to invest a lot. The experience, the space may be smaller, but we really want to provide for the consumers the right kind of a Nokia experience. So it's kind of a pyramid. Which, yeah, yes. And that's our aim. So what you see here in flagship store, you should be able to see a reflection of the same in different other layers in the pyramid. The retail for us generally is, like I said, so important that if you take the traditional marketing mix or the consumer touch point, the different ways how we try to be in touch with the consumers, you have the normal advertising or you have the radio, outdoor, retail of course being one touch point, people who go to our care services, there is a good opportunity to have a dialogue with the consumers. But we understand that right now where we are, demonstrative marketing is very important for us. Because when we add new experiences, we really have to find ways how we can get these devices to the hands of the consumers. And retail is a very good place for it. So that's why we think that retail is so important. We, of course, are here also to sell. But the point is that now we really want the distribution to learn to sell these devices, not as phones, but as multimedia computers, when it comes to N-series devices. Then, of course, at the same time, we have mobile phones, and they should be sold as phones. But we are in a situation that we in Nokia, we need to learn many new things almost every day. But the same applies to the distribution, and we want to help the distribution. So we want to train our dealers and retailers. We, of course, also want to learn from them, because they are the ones who are meeting the consumers. And you know, for us, it has been a major, gigantic step to start to produce all of us on cameras instead of phones. And so that's what I mean, that we need to invest a lot in educating, because there is still the possibility that this kind of a device will be sold as a phone by a dealer in Russia or in France or in the United States if we don't train them. And if that happens, then of course there is this danger that the consumers are disappointed. There has been a lot of discussion about this kind of device, that it's big. You know, it's not the smallest mobile phone. But of course, on the other hand, it's one of the smallest camcorders. that does exist in the marketplace. The same applies to this. Maybe a normal sized mobile phone, but it's very small camera. I mean, let's compare the size of this and this.
Yeah.
And as you know, we start to be in the same level when it comes to the quality. So that's why we want to make sure that the dealers do sell these devices with the right arguments. And therefore we have a big interest to work together with them in the retail area.
Sub-brands, N-Series and E-Series. Nokia has always enjoyed high loyalty of consumers. One of the reasons for that was Nokia's strategy to promote, first of all, the brand overall, not just products. Establishing two sub-brands, N-Series and E-Series, seems to be a deviation from this brand-focused concept. Are you going to promote separate categories now, or will the overall Nokia brand remain the top priority? Do you plan launching new products that will have personal names like Motorola, Rocker?
Okay, so first of all, when it comes to Nokia N-Series and E-Series, perhaps we haven't seen yet too much of E-Series advertising. It has been more N-Series marketing communication so far. And then that whole N-Series marketing communication is anyway based on the assumption that it will contribute back to the mother brand. So Nokia N-Series will help the mother brand Nokia to renew itself. So that's the idea. So our philosophy or principle is not to take a violent departure from the mother brand, but rather to create the progressive twist to the mother brand Nokia. So we see that the Nokia N-Series is part of the Nokia brand, is kind of one of sub-brand of it. And when we develop the Nokia N-Series, it's always developed together with Nokia. So we believe that everything what we do for Nokia N-Series will also help to drive the mother brand further. But of course, there are also, and there will be strong campaigns which are based on Nokia-branded devices also in this market. So it's not going to be only Nokia N-Series and no Nokia E-Series. We need to have the right balance between the... And when it comes to these names, like Rocker Razor, I think that this E-Series and N-Series is our approach at the moment. But of course, we created for the 5500 the... what is the... Now I can't remember the... 5500. There we have created a name after it. Nokia 5500. No, okay. Yeah, let's get back to it. But with Nokia 5500... if I remember right, we have now decided it's going to be sport. But perhaps, yes, that's one example where we are also using names. Communicator, of course, started the whole thing 10 years ago, Nokia Communicator, and it has become a... Now everybody just talk about communicators. So we have also tried that with good results. I don't want to speculate whether we will come with any new... describing names in the future, but if you look what has happened during 1 or 2 years, we have really taken some changes when it comes to how we are numbering and naming our devices. It's not every device is not anymore the 4-digit, but E-Series and N-Series, they follow the 2-digit logic, and they don't use the whole numbering. But as you know, with N-Series, it's from 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
And E-Series starts from 5, and then goes to 7. So I believe that we have also managed to help the consumers to navigate now in our overall product jungle with the help of this team.
Updating software. In UK, Nokia has launched the service that allows end users to update software themselves. Will this service be available for Russia? If yes, when and for what products? And what are your plans for developing post-sales support?
Well, first of all, generally this care, the care area, like we haven't been calling that area anymore after sales, but really is care, because we really want to care about the consumers. And of course, we want to establish a long-lasting relationship between Nokia and the consumer. And we do understand that the relationship that we can offer through our care services is very important part in the whole. So we consider that to be very important also in the future for us to develop it further. And this possibility to download software is perhaps the latest message that we constantly want to develop it. It is important, and we really believe that many consumers will be very happy about this development, because it means that many consumers who are able to download either over the air or by through the cable the software, they may be saving some time. And of course, many consumers know it already from many other industries, and the same is happening in many other areas. So all in all, yes, it is important, and it's not only going to be limited in UK. It's also going to be happening in Russia, and we are looking forward to start it, let's say, towards the end of the year also in the Russian market. Yes. Yeah. So, but yes, we are excited about this, because you know, it also opens us probably a very good and relevant channel to kind of give feedback to us. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to contact that we have throughout our European area through the care organization, it's huge. So we have millions of contacts every month, of course, because consumers may have some issues with their devices and they come to us, but at the same time, it's an opportunity for us to kind of re-strengthen the relationship. And now when it comes to this time of digital convergence, I believe that this is the right way how to be in touch with the consumers. So doing it remotely over the air, mm-hmm, is definitely something that I'm sure that many consumers really prefer.
Do you consider the experience of launching Nokia 8800 Black as a special edition for Russia successful? Do you plan to offer such special editions in Russia in future?
Yes, first of all, we are really happy about the experience. And definitely that's a good kind of a benchmark and reference when considering any future activities. So yes, we do believe that this is the one possible way and alternative also to do in the future. All in all, we believe very much that the key for Nokia to be successful in the future is to understand the consumers. And that's why we have done the biggest ever segmentation study, mm-hmm, and recently published that a couple of months ago. And it's a study that most likely there is no other segmentation study ever made that would be as big. More than 6 billion data points all over the place, and Russia was one of the key markets that we looked at specifically. And we continue to update that data, mm-hmm, data reserve on a continuous basis. So based on that, we are able to segment the market, and that we have done. And then basically there are certain segments that are universal, they do exist everywhere, but of course the share of the size of the segment differs between the markets. But that gives us a good foundation also to look at the Russian market and then to decide which product and product categories do fit best to the Russian market. And I'm sure that we will also see in the future, say, these kind of examples like you just mentioned in the Russian market can be something that Nokia does alone and offers for the Russian market, or it could be something that we do together with our customers. Or it can be that it's some third party, somebody who, say uses our Russian version of Nokia devices with Russian language, etc., as a platform, mm-hmm, and downloads applications, whatever, mm-hmm, equipment, and then offers that to the marketplace. That's the beauty of having open operating systems in these devices. So we can do it. We can do it together, or somebody else can, mm-hmm, can do activities like that. and go and really target one specific segment in the marketplace.